Amen. It's good to see everybody out to the homebrew meeting today. It's the last homebrew meeting in December for year 22. And I just thank everybody that has come out and everybody listening that has come out. I just really appreciate it, and I'm honored because I know you could have chosen somewhere else to go, but you were here tonight, and so I really, really appreciate that. And those that are listening over the internet that will hear this when I have it posted to our website, thank you very much. If I have not got back to you on your questions, and I've really been enjoying a lot of the emails I've been getting, from people, the good ones and maybe not so good ones. But anyway, thank you very much for your comments and stuff. Those comments just make us all better. And not everybody knows everything. And so we all need everybody's help. There is much wisdom in a multitude of counsel. So anyways, let's go ahead and get into the Word of God tonight. And so what we like to do, I like to look at five quick points, what we looked at last month. And then we're going to go ahead and roll into continuing looking at John chapter 1. So I'm going to start off by correction. Isn't correction good? Who likes correction? Everybody should have their hand up. Everybody should have their hand up because correction is good. So I'm going to start by a clarification of correction. And I'm going to start by saying context, context, context. Because context, when we look at the Bible, is critical. And last week I kept misstating what I was talking about, the Synoptic Gospels. I said a couple times that John is a part of the Synoptic Gospels, but they're not true. They're not true. Synoptic Gospels, and whoever sent me those 10 emails saying I'm wrong, thank you very much. Synoptic Gospels is Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They are part of the Synoptic Gospels. But John is not, because John is one of the four Gospels that looked at Jesus as God. And so that's the difference. That's why John is not a part of the Synoptic Gospels, because John always looks, not at the deity of man, or of Jesus, but always looked at the divinity of him being God. And so I just want to clarify that point. Amen. Last month we looked at John the Baptist. He announced the revolution, via the revolution, to the religious folks of his day. And that was the new way, the new light, the truth, and the life found only in Jesus Christ. So we looked at that new way, the life, and the truth. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one goes into the Father except by me, and it's only found in Jesus Christ, and the message of the kingdom of God. Jesus came in Mark 1:15, bringing the kingdom of God, which is not an earthly place, a temple, or any of that stuff. Romans tells us that the kingdom of God is joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. So Jesus came not with his message, bringing the kingdom of God. And the concept of the kingdom of God, there is three main concepts in that. The meek shall inherit the earth, Matthew 5:5. The second is poor in spirit. Of course, these are all from the Beatitudes. Poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 5:3. And the last concept is pure in heart. The pure in heart shall see God. And that shall see God now on earth. Right? Amen. We're supposed to see God now. We don't have to wait to die to see God in heaven. We're to see God now on earth and then see him in heaven. And that's Matthew 5:8. And so that was point number two. Number three, we looked at John the Baptist. We started looking at John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, he knew of Jesus. He knew of Jesus, but he never knew Jesus. Say that again. Even though John was a cousin of Jesus, we introduced John the Baptist and the other verses that we looked at last month. And so he knew of Jesus. He even baptized Jesus, as we will talk about. But John, he never knew Jesus. And there's a lot of people in churches today. They know of Jesus. They know of Jesus. They go to church. They do all the church activities. They know of Jesus, but they never come to know Jesus. The fourth point that we're going to look at quickly is John the Baptist knew and he saw Jesus only as the Lamb of God. He only saw Jesus as the Lamb of God. But if we want to see tonight, Jesus has other names, but John only saw Jesus as the Lamb of God. And the last point, which is the point that we ended with last week, was the Jewish religion never had a doctrine that defined a suffering Savior and a conquering King. Now, if that was a part of the Jewish Torah that defined how Jesus could be a suffering Savior on the cross and at the same time be a conquering King, then the Jewish people could have received him. But Jesus came to the Jewish people, he came to his people, to his own people, and they received him not. And so that is why they never understood Jesus. They never could understand all of the integral parts of moving in Jesus, because they meant in their doctrine, they never had an understanding of a suffering Savior and a conquering King. Amen? So that's what we looked at last month. And so now we're going to be looking at John chapter 1, verses 30 through 51. 30 through 51. So you have the notes there. And so I will go ahead and read the verse. And so I give you the external word, and there will be some internal word that will come out from that. And so if you have questions, please take, you know, write down the question or whatever, and you have this, study it, read it, give me a call if you have any questions, and we can expound on that even more. Amen. So, verse number 30. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now here, John the Baptist, I love John, knew that Jesus was before him. But wait a minute, how could that be? How could Jesus be before John? Because John is older than Jesus. He was born before Jesus. And so John had enough revelation and understanding to know that he wasn't talking about a natural birth. There was something spiritual about Jesus. And here John definitely connects the Lamb of God, not the Christ, and that's important, with the One. That's a capital O. The people that had a very hard time understanding Jesus' pre-existence, who pre-existed as God. Who has Revelations 13 and 8? Okay, Revelations 13 and 8.
Okay, 13:8.
Yes, sir.
And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. His names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world.
Amen. That's very good. So Jesus was slain, died before the foundation, and before time began. Before the foundations of the earth, not the world, but the earth was made, Jesus died for our sin. Isn't that amazing? I don't know about you, but I have a hard time comprehending that. But that shows the pre-existence of Jesus. So Jesus was around somewhere before time began, before the earth began. And the Jewish people couldn't understand that. They could not understand that. Wow. Wow, wow. When he was the witness, the one who lived before John was born, even though John was 6 months older than Jesus. Later, Jesus adds further distress on the people when Jesus said, and Bonnie, we were talking about this earlier, Jesus said to the rabbis and, you know, the Sadducees and the Pharisees here in John 8:58, he said, before Abraham, everyone loved Abraham. He was so special. Abraham, the covenant, and all this good stuff. And Jesus says, before Abraham, I am. The same I am when Moses stood before the burning bush. And Moses says, well, what is your name? And you know, the burning bush says, I am that I am. Wow. So Jewish people couldn't understand the pre-existence of Jesus being, before. And I knew him not. Now notice, this is the first time that John, in these verses we're looking at tonight, said, and I knew him not. Again, John knew of Jesus, but he really didn't know him. He never had a relationship with him. He never was his friend. He just kind of knew of Jesus, and he knew he was somebody special, and he knew he had to baptize him. So, because he was going to be a rabbi, and that was requiring him to be a rabbi at 30 years old, he had to be baptized. But he never really got to know him. So, verse 31 here, and I knew him not, but what he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, I am to come baptizing with water. So, he knew of Jesus, he didn't know him, but he knew he had to do something. John tells the people that he had never met Jesus until now. Yet, he was sent in the past to bring salvation to Israel. Now, that was John, not Jesus. A prophet who points to the future usually is limited in the revelation he gives. Let me say that again. A prophet who points to the future usually is limited in the revelation he gives. But John is clear in what he is saying and what he knows. In what he knows, he doesn't know everything. He has a limited revelation of Jesus. Because Jesus was the Lamb of God, wasn't he? But he had that limited revelation. He never understood Jesus to also be the Messiah. He never understood Jesus to be the Anointed One. He never understood Jesus to be the Son of God. You know, he had that limited revelation. He only saw Jesus as the Lamb of God. No good Jew wanted to be the Lamb of God because the Lamb of God is killed. No one wants to be the Lamb of God. Amen? But John is clear in what he knows and what he knows, and therefore I come baptizing with water. John knows what God told him. Amen? And I have a verse here, Romans 10:17 in the Greek. We know what God tells us when we hear him speak to us. Let me say it again. We know what God tells us when we hear him speak to us. Romans 10:17 in the regular King James Version says, now, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But in the Greek, that it's faith cometh by hearing a word from God. So when we hear God speak to us, then we get faith. And then when we get faith, when we hear what God is speaking to us, then we will know. The question I have right here in my notes is, do we know, you individually, do you know what God has spoken to you? And I have a little note right here, and it says that we need to hold this before the Lord. We need to hold what God has spoken to us individually. Do we know that? Do we believe that? Well, if God has spoken to us, then we will know that. Verse 32, and John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. Here John the Baptist is witnessing of the Holy Spirit landing on Jesus. Who has Matthew 3:16-17? Okay. Matthew 3:16-17.
When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him.
Amen. So, now the way the Jewish people baptize is not the way we baptize. We baptize, we have a baptismal, or we're in a lake or a stream, and we dunk the person like this in the water, and then they come up like this. Well, the Jewish people don't baptize like that. The Jewish people, they go straight down in the water. The Bible there says that Jesus came straightway up in the water. He didn't come up like this. He came up because they go down and then they come up. And so when Jesus came up out of the water, then the Holy Spirit as a dove came down and it landed on him. John the Baptist knew that the dove was a physical manifestation of the Holy Spirit. He saw, though, Jesus. He saw through the physical beyond it and into the spiritual realm. if we do not see or understand that well enough, we'll begin to, admit it rather than to misjudge or move into presumption. So it's very, very important for us to come to that understanding when we see something in the physical that is moving in the spiritual. We need to really come to understand that. If not, then we will misjudge what we see, and we then will move into presumption, which will get us in trouble. So it's better to say that we don't know something than to say that we know something and be wrong. Because if not, we will lead people astray. We will lead people astray. John the Baptist here knew that the Holy Spirit was coming out of heaven. But you know what's amazing about the baptism of Jesus? And of course, this had to happen because Jesus had to be a rabbi at age 30. I mean, I wish God Bonnie would say, "This is my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased." Wow. The heavens would open up and a dove would come down and land on you. Wow, that was just wonderful. But that was not enough to have the heavens open up and have God speak. One of two times in the Bible, God spoke out of heaven, "This is my beloved Son, that I'm well pleased." But that wasn't enough for Jesus to begin his ministry. That wasn't enough. Because if we see later that Jesus then was driven into the wilderness to be tempted, he had to go into the wilderness before he could begin his ministry. And that always, that always stuck with me. Verse 33. "And I knew him not." So here's the second time. Here's the second time. And again, I moved through this really fast so that we can have plenty of time to talk and share. But it says, here's the second time, John admitting that he does not know him. "And I knew him not." I didn't know Jesus. "But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me," and of course, who sent him to baptize in water? Was God, the Father, "upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and rising on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost," or the Holy Spirit. Here John the Baptist is saying, the one, God, who sent him to baptize is the same one who said, "He who the dove remains on him, he who will be baptized, who will baptize with the Holy Spirit." Revelation is always destined to become clearer as it progresses in a person or in time. And that's worth writing down right there. Revelation is always destined to become clearer as it progresses in a person or in time. And at first, John the Baptist did not know, but now, after this experience in the water, heaven's opening up, God speaking, now John is getting a little more of a clue about this fellow, his cousin, named Jesus. But now he knows a little more. All revelation is progressive, and we know in part. Let me say that again. All revelation is progressive, and we know that in part. 1 Corinthians 13:9 says, "We know in part, and we prophesy in part. For now we see through a dark or a glass darkly or a mirror, but face to face I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known." So all revelation is progressive. We move from a lesser place of revelation to a greater place of revelation. And the more that we come to know, the greater the revelation will be. And of course, the more that we know God, the greater our ability to handle revelation. And the then is when. Let me say that again. Then is when. Or the when is, guess what? When the revelation becomes clearer. Then is the when we get it. When the light comes on, when the bulb comes on, we get it. And man, we can just move. God spoke to us. Faith cometh by hearing a word from God, and boom, we can just move in that. verse 34. And I saw and bear record that this is the, notice, the Son of God. So now, first, twice, John says, I don't know Jesus. I don't know Jesus. And he sees Jesus. He baptizes him, and the heavens open up. And now he's looking through that darkness. And then all of a sudden, in verse 34, he says what? Does he call him the Lamb of God? No. He calls him the Son of God. His revelation is increasing. It's increasing from the Lamb of God now to the Son of God. Names matter to Jews. Here we see another name for Jesus. Other name for Jesus is Lamb of God, the Paschal Lamb, the Passover Lamb, the Savior, the Messiah. Jesus' name he used for himself was the Son of Man. Not the Son of God, but the Son of Man. But here Jesus is identified with his heavenly title, the Son of God, which emphasizes in order to point out the extreme extent of Jesus' identity with man. John the Baptist said, Jesus is the Son of God. Now, because Jesus is the Son of God does not mean he cannot be the Lamb of God. He can be both. He was both. He was the Lamb of God, right? The suffering Messiah, as well as the conquering King, the Son of God. He was that. And, you know, he was the Messiah. The Jews today are looking for the Messiah. Well, they missed it. He is. Just because Jesus made the light does not mean that Jesus cannot make darkness. Wow, he's not interesting. Who has Isaiah 45:7?
I do.
Okay.
I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things.
Wow. Read that again, please.
I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things.
Well, who would believe that God creates evil? Who would believe that God would create darkness? Well, God can do that. God is God and we are not. God can create light. He can create evil. He can create, I, the Lord God, I can do all these things. Well, Jesus can be the suffering Savior as well as he can be the conquering King. Verse 35. Again, the next day, as John stood and two of his disciples. Okay, so now what we're going to do is we're going to look at Jesus stealing John the Baptist's disciples. And that's what basically happened. When Jesus came on the scene, John had a bunch of disciples. Peter was a disciple of John. Wow. He had all these disciples that were following him. Because he was, remember, he was baptizing people. And, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins and all this. So John had a bunch of disciples. So here comes Jesus. Jesus has a limited time to gather disciples. And so where does he get them? Gets them from John. And John was supposed to be a disciple of Jesus. John was supposed to stop baptizing and follow Jesus. But John even said, I must decrease and he must increase. But he never did that at all. So God had to take care of him. Okay, so anyway, again the day that John stood and two of his disciples. We see here John the Baptist had disciples. John was not to make disciples, but to redirect them all to Jesus. But this did not happen. I believe when Jesus entered the picture, John the Baptist was to stop baptizing. Well, I mean, Jesus is on the scene. I mean, you know, who else are you going to point people to other than Jesus, you know? To this day, there are still disciples of John the Baptist still baptizing people in the Jordan River. Seriously. I mean, you know, you can find out descendants and people, followers of John the Baptist that are still doing that. Well, I wonder why John, didn't want to do that. Well, maybe John wanted to lead a revolt. Maybe John wanted to lead a revolt, kick those Romans out. I don't know. Verse 36, and looking unto Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold, the Son of God. Did you say Son of God? No, it's just the Lamb of God. John went back to the Lamb of God. So he saw Jesus as the conquering King. Now he's seeing Jesus as the Lamb of God. Again, John the Baptist sees Jesus as the Lamb of God, not the Christ. Here John is giving vision, which is critical to keep things, to keep things on track. Now, without vision, and that word vision there is cast off restraints, the people will perish. So who has Proverbs 29:18?
I do.
Thank you very much.
Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he.
That's right. So that word there, vision, means to cast off restraint. So where people, cast off restraint, where they, to get rid of limitations and restrictions or whatever in their life, the people will perish. And that is exactly what, John is doing right here. But the work of ministry requires obedience. Let me say that again. The work of the gospel, the work of Christ requires obedience. John was supposed to stop baptizing and go ahead and move in obedience to Christ. Revelation is needed to give clarity, but obedience gives completion and fulfillment to the vision. If you want to underline anything in your notes, boy, that's a wonderful thing to underline. And that is revelation is needed to give clarity. Oh, I can see, I can understand. But obedience gives completion and fulfillment to the vision. Wow, that's powerful. Wow. Wow. John was disobedient to God's vision. John was disobedient to God's vision. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Obedience is to following hearing. Obedience is to follow hearing. One can hear and not follow. But in God, we are to hear, like see, and understand, and then do follow. Okay? So we can, we can hear, and we can understand, and then we can do, and that doing is follow what we have been told to do. To follow, we must have a hearing ear. We must have that communication with the Holy Spirit. Faith cometh by hearing a word from God. And following here, you ready for this? That following heart is submission. The clay on the potter's wheel. Without both, there will never be development in our Christian life. Wow. So without following and without a hearing ear, without following, doing, without, following and that hearing ear, there will not be any development in our Christian life. Boy, that is as another key point that you need to underline. Following heart and a hearing ear. Verse 38, then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, why seek thee? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? Jesus is well aware that the Holy Spirit is drawing them. Unless the Holy Spirit draws someone, you cannot be saved. The Holy Spirit must be drawing you to salvation. And without the drawing of the Holy Spirit, you cannot be saved. These two. Looking past these two men, Jesus looks at their intention, and the intention of the Father has for these two men. This is how Jesus looked at Peter and Nathanael. We must see Jesus in us. God always looks past us. Wow. God always looks past us to our intentions. When God looks at us, he doesn't see a wonderful young lady, intelligent, beautiful lady, nice handsome man. That's not what God is looking at. God is looking at our intentions. He always looks at our heart. God judges the heart. God always looks at our heart. This is why it does not matter what we do for God, but it matters how we do things for God. So it doesn't matter what we do for God. Travel around the world, minister to all of these things, all that stuff. Really, what's all said and done doesn't matter. It matters how we do things for God. Do we have the right heart condition? Are we in a low place so the Lord can use us? And so when God looks at us, He looks past all of our outward beauty and all of our stuff that we do. And He always looks at our heart to see what our heart condition is. Verse 39, He said unto them, come unto me. They came and saw where He dwelt and abode with them that day. For it was about 10 o'clock. Does anyone know what time the 10th hour is, by any chance? Anybody know what time the 10th hour is? The 10th hour is 4 p.m., by the way. Easy way to remember that, if you have a clock and you're in the a.m. section of the clock, you always add 6 hours to it. Whatever it is a.m., add 6 hours to it, and that will put it at the correct time. If you're in the p.m. section, you minus 6 hours, and that puts you there. So at the 10th hour was 4 p.m. Was 4 p.m. So they were received by Jesus and stayed with Him. Here Jesus seemingly steals John's disciples. Wow. But they were not John's disciples, were they? Because they were already Jesus prepared by God for service by them. Wow. Now John had disciples, but He was not supposed to. He was supposed to give those disciples over to Jesus. But one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Simon Peter's brother. Andrew was the first disciple that Jesus gathered. I didn't even get Peter first. Peter was one of the later ones. Andrew was the first disciple that Jesus gathered. The Greek text lets us know that Andrew was close to John the Baptist, and he had an ear to hear from the Holy Spirit. So we can see there's a relationship between hearing and being close to somebody. Let me say that again. So we can see there's a relationship between hearing and being close to someone. For a time, Andrew followed both Jesus and John the Baptist. But there came a time when Andrew just followed Jesus. He left John the Baptist. When one of the first times I went to Romania, and we were leaving from Constanza and going to Suceava, or not Suceava, but to Silistra in Bulgaria, we stopped by Andrew's cave. Romanian tradition says that Andrew evangelized Romania, Bulgaria, that whole region, and his headquarters was in this big cave. And they had this big picture of Romanians too, of Andrew, supposedly Andrew was crucified on a cross like this, not a cross like this, but an X cross, and he was on this cross, and he was crucified, and there's a church there, and they have a holy of holies at this church, and the only people that can go into the holy of holies is the high priest on a certain days, and the cleaning lady every Tuesday. That's a joke, but the Romanian pastor, Pastor Luke, told me that, but that's true. But I thought by Andrew's cave, and there's nothing in the Bible about that. So remember, you can only defend the Bible as far as you can read it. So if you can't find it in the Bible, be careful with, what you're saying here. Amen?
Yeah.
But we all must have a hearing ear. We must all have a hearing ear if we desire to have that relationship with the Lord. We all must choose, not right or wrong, but we must all choose obedience or presumption or disobedience. So Andrew chose Jesus, and he left John the Baptist, and he walked with Jesus. Verse 41. He first finds his own brother Simon and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Amazingly, Andrew proclaimed Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, before Peter did. Andrew must have received this revelation from the Holy Spirit, or maybe from John, when John had that brief revelation of, what, you're the Son of God, but then he went back to being the Lamb of God. I believe the Holy Spirit told him. The Holy Spirit must tell us too. What has the Holy Spirit told you? I'll leave that only that with you. The Holy Spirit must tell us, so what is the Holy Spirit? Don't tell me, but, you know, what has the Holy Spirit told you? 42, and he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is interpreted a stone. So basically what Jesus said, Jesus called Peter a box of rocks. You know, Jesus never called Peter by his name. He never called him Simon Peter. He called him other things. We'll see that. Here, Peter, Simon, son of Jonah. That word, Simon, son of Jonah, see, that was not his name. His name was Simon Peter, but he called him Simon, son of Jonah. And Simon, son of Jonah, believe it or not, means old man of the flesh. Old man of the flesh. Wow. You know, Peter was not impressed with Jesus, and apparently was a disciple of John the Baptist. Jesus saw beyond Peter's flaws, his lack of dedication in his troubled times, and saw the finished product as he was in our life. And so we should see in Peter's character in troubled times, Peter wasn't very faithful, was he? When he stood before in the outer courts of Pilate, no, I never knew him. No, three times he denied Jesus. Amen?
Yes.
And he saw the finished product as he sees in our life. But what did Jesus see? See, Jesus never looked at us, he never looked at our flaws, he always looked at our heart and always looked at our attention. So when Jesus saw him, he didn't see all of Peter's weaknesses like he doesn't see in our life. Jesus saw a firm rock, a stone. The meeting place Bethabara, and we'll talk about that in a word in a second, but Bethabara is a house of crossing over. Remember, that was the place that Joshua crossed the Jordan River to go into the promised land. Was also the same place that Jesus was baptized at Bethabara. And Bethabara means a house of crossing over. Now Peter has a place to cross over from John the Baptist to Jesus at Bethabara. Did I give someone Matthew 6? Oh yeah. Okay, in Matthew 16 and 17, Jesus called Peter, he called him Simon Bar-Jonah. Simon Bar-Jonah. He didn't call him old man of the flesh like he did here. He called him Simon Bar-Jonah. And what Jesus was referring to was an island called Bar-Jonah. And in this island in Bar-Jonah, there's these wild golden doves that are just beautiful, and they're golden, and they can't be tamed. And so when Jesus saw Peter, he saw Peter as that wild golden dove that can't be tamed, that can't control. He's just wild. And so Jesus said, called him Simon Bar-Jonah. Simon, you wild golden dove. Wow. 43, the day following Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find Philip and said unto him, Follow me. Time passes and another opportunity to gather disciples. Jesus knew his limited time on earth remaining and had to get in his collecting disciples now that his ministry had started. Philip may be another disciple of John the Baptist, but he was ripe for the picking because he had two main requirements. Hunger and a hearing ear. This is important right here. These are two of the main requirements to be a disciple of Christ. So who wants to be a disciple of Christ? Everybody should have your hand raised, right? Well, to be a disciple of Christ, you have to have a hunger and an insatiable hunger and a hearing ear to be able to hear the Holy Spirit speak to us. Those are the two requirements to be a disciple of Christ. Not to know all the verses in the Bible, not to be able to memorize every verse backwards and forwards and know all of this in Greek and, you know, and all that stuff really helps. But to be a disciple of Christ, you must have an unsatiable hunger for the things of God and a hearing ear to be able to hear the Holy Spirit speak to it. Amen? Without that, well then, really, God really can't use us to any real degree. 44. Now, Philip was in Bethesda, which is the city of Andrew and Peter. This is where Andrew and Peter, who are, you know, were brothers. Bethesda means the house of fishing. More fishermen were called as disciples by Jesus than any other profession. They had the right heart quality. They would fish all night and get nothing. So, Brother Harold, can you relate to that?
What's that?
You fish all night and catch nothing.
Oh.
I can relate to that. When I go fishing, sometimes I go and I catch nothing, but I'm out there fishing. But that's the right heart condition. And that's why Jesus, you know, gathered fishermen, right? Didn't have the right heart condition. They had the right heart quality. They would fish all night and get nothing. They would keep on fishing even in the face of discouragement. Wow. Andrew was close to Peter than to Philip, and he lacked the revelation Philip had, but he did have zeal, something we all must temper in us. Zeal will get us in trouble. You can look at the rich young ruler, and we're not going to look at that. But zeal will get us in a world of trouble. Do not be zealous. God will work the zeal to work for Him out of you. Because when you work in zeal, you will make mistakes, because zeal operates by self-strength and self-ability. Zeal works by self-strength and by self-ability. We need to work by God's strength and by God's ability. And you can see that as little kids. Little kids, they want to go here and run here and do this and run and do and you know, oh, slow down, calm down, you know. After they get a little older, they stop all that running around, and God will work that into our life. Verse 45, Philip finds Nathanael and says to him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Wrong. He wasn't the son of Joseph. Philip's revelation was almost correct. The son of Joseph, but that is okay. Philip thought Joseph produced Jesus, but if we follow Jesus, we know that our revelation is to become more clear and greater and clearer as we go. Notice Philip talks about the law of Moses and the prophets. And Philip knew of this Old Testament, which helped him recognize Jesus when he saw him. Remember, revelation is always progressive. He understood the Old Testament, so when he saw Jesus, he knew. Do not discount limited revelation. Say that again. Do not discount limited revelation, because hearing and hunger will grow from that. Limited revelation, hearing and hunger will grow from that. And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said unto him, "Well, come and see." Nathanael had Nazareth had a bad reputation, which caused him to doubt the claim Jesus was the Messiah. Today, it's the same thing. The unrighteous see the lifestyle of Christians and turn away from the things of God. And there's a good place to go, oh me, oh my, but that's true. The unrighteous in the world, they see the poor representation of Christ of many Christians, and they turn away from the things of God. So the question is, what is our reputation? We are to so let our light shine before men. Wow, you can hold that thought before you, amen? Verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and coming to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Wow, wouldn't that be wonderful, Connie, to have God say, "Connie Stahl, wow. A woman of God where there is no God. Oh, to God that would be God's testimony of me." Wow. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Just like Peter and the rest of the disciples, Jesus gazed into the depth of Nathanael. We are all transparent to the Lord. And in spite of our evil heart and waywardness sometimes, God's love and forgiveness ever forgives us. Wow. In spite of our waywardness and sometimes our evil heart, God loves us and He forgives us, and His love ever endures. Now, there'd be a great place to say amen. Nathanael said unto him, "Whence knowest thou not Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under a tree, I saw thee. Jesus shocks Nathanael. Some people need a cattle prod to get their attention. Amen? The Lord knows how to get our attention when He wants to. Anyone relate to that? God knows how to get our attention. Nathanael was amazed to Jesus' perception. Yet, the Lord's perception spans the ages. He knows our patience. He knows our labors. He knows our lack. And He knows our tribulation. Make no mistake, my friend. God knows how to get our attention. Amen. He knows how to get our attention. God is God, and we are not. He knows our pain. He knows our pain. He knows all things, especially our heart. Amen. 2023, God will speak to us. Amen. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Nathanael is awed by Jesus' vision of him. Nathanael's revelation is correct. The Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Nathanael, unlike John the Baptist, this will be trouble for John later in the future, did not have the revelation of Jesus as the Lamb of God. He called him Rabbi, Son of God. What else must he see? Last two verses, Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under a fig tree, thou believest, thou shalt see greater things than these. Belief and revelation may not be the same thing. Belief and revelation may not be the same thing. Jesus let Nathanael know that there was some work needed in his life to believe. Most of the disciples believed without needing a sign. In any case, the work was needed to develop greater revelation in them. We believe often because we need something to hold on to. We often believe because we need something to hold on to. But oftentimes our belief is not enough. We need to see Jesus better, a lot closer. Yeah. Last verse, and he said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, here after ye see heaven open, and see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Some of the disciples saw the saying of Jesus come to pass in Gethsemane 22 and 43 when Jesus was praying, and the angels came to minister to him after that. Then the heavens opened, revelation increased. One whose life is affected. When the heavens open and revelation increases, one's whole life is affected. The hungry heart is filled, and the pure in heart shall see God. The pure in heart shall see God. Amen. 1 John 1:30 through 51. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Father Lord, for your love and your many blessings. Father Lord, we thank you for this time, for your word, Father Lord God. So many tremendous points in this teaching, Father Lord. I would ask people that would listen online and take notes, Father Lord, and it's been posted on our blog, Father Lord, that they will use that, Father Lord God, and learn these lessons in these verses, Father Lord. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father Lord God, for your love and your mercy and for your work. We pray this thing in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.